بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A child was passing through Afghanistan. And it was approaching Maghrib time, so he looked for a place where he could spend the night. In the distance he saw a light, he followed the light, he saw a house. Person first declined, he says, "No, you don't rest here." He said, "But I got no other place." He said, "All right, if you want to rest here, I'll give everything, whatever you need, food, clothing, sleep, everything. But at night you must never open this door until the morning." So this person was an explorer. An explorer is a person that is very adventurous, wants to know. And he wants to know more about things that he was stopped from. When someone stops you from something, then you become more curious, more anxious. Like Abdulaziz by Mehtar. You should go and see all Malawi and Tanzania and all that. So, as everything was calm and still, and he saw there's no noise, the man is sleeping, so quietly opened the door. There to his surprise he sees herds and herds of swine. They come out from some hole. They're crying terribly, small, all sizes, small, big, fat, short, tall, all sizes. Crying, wailing, and after some time they go back into that hole. So he saw all this, and is waiting for the morning. Morning, he asked the chacha, "Bhai, you know, I saw this thing here. But I told you to open the door. Why open the door?" So whatever happened, happened now, but he's telling what's the secret. He says, "You see, the English had been fighting against the Muslims from the 18th century. And all those English that were killed in Afghanistan, ever since they died, every night their bodies come out like this. They cry and they wail and they shout and they go back. Bodies are transformed into swines and they go back like this." So the life after death is a reality. Can't escape it. It's a thing to ponder about. The atheist, the one that doesn't believe in Allah Ta'ala, he also says life is divine, mustn't take away life. So on the one end he doesn't believe in God, but then on the other hand he says that life is divine, so mustn't take away life, mustn't commit suicide. So within his heart, it's lingering that there is a God. So this belief of God, you cannot rub it off. You can't rub it off from your system. It's there. One woman, I remember, in Durban somewhere, her child died in an accident. So saying, "God, I'll fix you up. I'll never worship you in the future." All right. I got amused with her statement because she believed that there was a God. And she also believed that he was in charge of life. But in her stupidity, she made the statement. All right, we laugh at her that this is a stupid statement she made. But the fact that she said this, she believes that there is a God. And she believes that there is someone that is in control of life and death. Right? Now that's a naivety, a stupidity that she says these type of statements. So this belief in God, this is something that is within your system. It is a chip that instilled in you. You can't erase this chip. You can't remove this chip. It's within you. You can't do what you want. At some point, you will think of God. You will think of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak speaks about those polytheists and mishriks when they are at sea. وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. And then waves overwhelm them from every direction. From above, from the right, from the left. You know, that Zaid, before he could start off the shop, so he wanted to know what to do. So, Mawlana Aqub had a vacancy on the ship. So we sent him on the cruise. So he went for 1 month, I think, 1 month or 3 weeks. Right. So he went for 3 weeks. He made good money for himself for the 3 weeks. So just from Durban to Maputo and back. And then he tells me his experience. He says, you know, that waves are raging, you know. Waves are raging at sea, mid-sea, and the waves are raging. Then the ship looks like a small little toy. Small little toy, looks like. You know, the waves are thudding from beneath, from above. All sides, they're waves. And to be living like that, I don't know how those sailors manage it. But they live. But how they manage, Allah Pak knows. So, when they are at sea and they are covered from all sides, they cover from all sides, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Because they can see now there is no exit. When there is no exit, at that time they say, Allah Pak, please make a plan for us. Allah Pak, you won't do it again. Right? Like you hear some stories, you know, when a woman, when she is in labor, right? And she is delivering. So one is a Muslim woman, she believes in Allah Pak and all that. Allah Pak make it easy, she says, do some kalimas, whatever. And you hear of those women, you hear from other women, how they behave. Not that we were there present, but you hear from other women, you know. Oh, I'll never do this again. I'll never do this again. But the moment they deliver, they again, the same thing. That excruciating pain. See, when the pain that they feel, hey, can't manage this again. So that's the style of a mushrik. A mushrik, when he's overwhelmed from all sides, at that time he calls to Allah Ta'ala. Because he sees there's no exit, there's no way out. Normal circumstance, he's not calling to Allah Ta'ala. But then he'll call Allah Ta'ala. That is now a woman that is in labor. One is a person is at sea. One is a woman is in labor. And the third example is a boy that is in matric just before the exams. Just before the exam, you see, he held his curtis. You ask him to make any wazifa. You must see that you read his wazifa before Maghrib 500 times. He'll be there, sure, he'll be there in the masjid and he'll be pulling the wazifa. Otherwise, you're doing everything. All stupid things he's doing. Every stupid thing he's doing. But now just to get through that matric examination, he'll do every wazifa. That he believes in Allah. That means he believes in Allah Ta'ala. You marvel at that person because deep down he believes in Allah Ta'ala. But the stupidity is overtaking him. The mahol, force of environment, peer pressure is sweeping him off his feet. But deep down within his heart, it means when he's making the wazifa, you know that there is some God. There is someone that is in control. So I need to go and ask him. But anyway, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ. But this is a short-lived belief. Because the moment we delivered them to safety, إِذَاهُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. They forget all the promises that they made to Allah Ta'ala. Everything is forgotten. So it was just a promise of convenience. Allah Baraka, I'll do this for you. Allah Baraka, I'll do this. I won't be a bad boy. I'll be a good person. I'll do all the right things. But that is until Allah Ta'ala delivered them into safety. The moment He saved them, and then they forgot all the promises. It's a graphic picture. This is just an example in the Quran Sharif, but it is very graphic. جاءهم الموج من كل مكان وظنوا أنه محيط بهم دعوا الله مخلصين له الدين. The idea is this: Allah Ta'ala brings this about so that you begin to understand the nature of life. You begin to understand yourself. Most people, they don't come to their realization until they're not in a fix. When you put them into a fix, now they come to the senses. So when you are in that fix, now see yourself in that state. Now then do realize that there is a God. I need to be holding on to Him at all times. Right? Because Allah Ta'ala is a pillar that is uncollapsible. And everything else can collapse. Right? You go for an insurance cover, right? Any type of insurance cover, whether it's a life cover, whether it's medical, whether it's whatever, but that thing can fail. You hear a lot of insurance companies are all collapsing, falling down, all going insolvent. You hear about it. So whatever you have got worldly material, that thing can collapse. And you hear about the listed companies, and you hear about the bubble bursting, and the whole thing is, whole thing where you had put all your trust and confidence, that thing burst, and you finish on the streets again. You put all your confidence, everything there, everything lost. About late 1960s, when this Burma ended, you know, early 60s. People were so wealthy, they were stinking rich. Our Muslims that were living there, most from Gujarat, Mewan people, Gujarati people were living there at that time. But they were stinking rich. So wealthy, that every home in Burma at that time had about 10 workers. They had 10 workers, literally 10 workers, just the home, small things. One worker for this, one worker for that, one worker for that. Right? So they were so wealthy. And Mawlana Ali Mir Sahib Rahmatullah had visited the country in that state where they were so wealthy. So Mawlana says that I'm not a man of kush, but the way things are carrying on here, it seems as though there's an impending punishment about to land here. You better fix yourself up. You better sort yourself out. This is what I'm saying. I'm not saying from Kash. I'm saying like, from what I see, like how you see a pregnant woman, right? And if it's a gynae that sees a pregnant woman, say, all right, 1-2 months' time, this woman is going to deliver. So the way the gynae will see, I'm seeing you like that. Or the way you see clouds, and you say, all right, in about an hour's time, you should get good rains. So similarly, I'm looking at you people, looking from the signs and symptoms around. I feel there's an impending punishment anyway that's going to come and strike you people. So you better sort your people out. You better sort yourselves out. But those people said, Mauliyon ka kaam kya hai? What is the work of the Mawlana? They keep just frightening you all the time, frightening you. No other job they got. They frighten you and they milk you. That's what they had to say. And then the punishment of Allah Ta'ala came. People that were living as hordes and hordes of wealth they had, and they had to leave everything and run away for their lives. Their monies, the government had declared that your money is of no value. Imagine that, hordes and hordes, piles and piles of money they had. And the government declared overnight that your money is not of any value. Now, what to do? They piled up, billions and billions have piled up, and then they say there's no value for your money. Now, these things you see, even you see now recently, in Libya and Tunis and all this, Egypt and all that, Mubarak family, a couple of 7 billion he had. Then you hear about this Gaddafi, how much he had. Right? And then they froze all his assets, finished, khalas. He had so much, and his own people came and killed him. Nobody could save him. So, in all these examples, all these illustrations, what is to be seen is, there is someone that is in control. So hold to the control. That control that cannot collapse. that control that cannot betray, right? That's the only, that control is only Allah Ta'ala. He can't collapse and he can't betray. He doesn't betray you. Anything else and everything else, they can betray you. The bank, you're doing something underhand, they will betray you also. They're going to report you. Okay, this person is doing something wrong here, right? You had a long-standing relationship with the bank and they don't think twice to go and report you to the receiver that you're doing something underhand. Doesn't it happen? Don't you hear about it? You hear about it all the time. So there isn't anything that you can really hold on to and really, really trust. One friend of mine's, so the receiver had got him, you see. So now they're questioning him from all sides. Maman person, they question him from all different angles, different ways, you know, try to see what he's got. So they can't trap him. They tried everything and they couldn't trap him. Eventually they thought of a plan, said, alright, but you've been paying zakat, you're a Muslim, said, yeah. But you've been paying zakat, so he kept quiet. I said, but why are you keeping quiet? He remained silent. Then third time when they interrogated him, now they felt they caught the person. Say, no, but it's a secret, you know. Say, no, it's a secret just between us now. We won't divulge your secret. So he says, you know what? For the last 20 years, I haven't been paying zakat. So now you're caught, how are you going to catch this person? How are you going to catch him? If you're going to catch him, kis tarah se pakarenge, bhai? How are you going to catch him? So everything can betray you. Betray you, they can leave you down, they can let you down, they can collapse. You know, everything can collapse. But the only pillar that can hold on every circumstance, every situation, everything is Allah Ta'ala. Our Buzurganuddin used to say that. Kabhi bhi kisi se kisi kisam ki umeed na rakhna. Don't hold any hopes with anybody. Not with us, also. They say about themselves, not even with us. Because you don't know at which time people can change, their moods can change, their behavior can change, their ways can change, everything can change. It's your son that was so dear and near to you and he can change. It's your wife that was so close to you and she can change. Right? She was with you and now she fell in love with someone else, eyes just fell on someone else and she's gone. Don't you hear about these stories? You hear these stories. So the only thing that, the only person that cannot change is Allah Ta'ala. The only person that can hold you at any time, any given time, whether you are in prosperity, whether you are in adversity, in whatever situation you are, he will help you. He will make a plan, he will make an exit for you. And that is Allah Ta'ala. But you hold on to him. Hold on to him means then you just remain firmly with him, no matter what happens. In this Iraq, Syria and all these places, there were a lot of wars previously as well. We hear of wars now, but it's not just confined to this age. It was there before as well. So there was some war carrying on in Syria. One person was doing some business. So in that business, one old lady used to come to him, but with a very smart young girl. Now there's war carrying on, and Syria has got a Christian population as well, white Christian population. So you see up till now, Syrians, many of them look like whites, blue eyes, fair, brown hair, all that. What, you know, the features that a white will have, they have the same features. So this old woman used to be accompanied with this young girl. Very attractive, very, very attractive. Now this youngster, he's got a shop here. So this old woman is coming with this young girl, then he's discounting the prices as well, just to catch some attraction. But now he's looking how to maneuver this, how to manipulate. He's making a discount, all that. Anyway, then he came to the point. First you discount, you go in circles, and if the circle is not working, then you go straight, you go direct to the point, you see. So he went direct to the point to this old lady. He says, you know, can't you make a plan with this girl? So the old lady went and spoke to the girl, said, all right, you give 1,000, we sort you out for this night. All right. So as it is, he was battling in his business. He brought about 1,000, gave it to the old lady. Old lady gave her this young girl. He booked out that hotel overlooking the lake on a moonlight night, right on the, what they call a roof garden? Huh? Penthouse, yeah, penthouse. Everything. He laid the dastarkhan, nice penthouse, overlooking 14th moon. So there's nothing now, nothing of his pleasures that he can resist. Laid down, they both sat down to eat. Just at that moment, then he thought, but Allah Pak is watching. Where he was about to strike, you know, at that time he was about to strike, everything is there. And then he said, hey, but Allah Pak is watching, how can I do this thing here? How can I embark on this thing? He just cancelled his idea. Imagine now, nothing is stopping you. You are alone, you pay that amount, did everything. There wasn't a thing that you didn't pay. Nothing is stopping you. But just the thought of Allah Ta'ala came to him and said, oh, I can't do this. Told that girl, no, you go back. Anyway, but this type of a germ is such, there must be a relapse, you see. You make sabr. But after 2-3 months, again the thing has the bit over you. So he went and told that old lady, that was his client now, but I need to see this person again. So she arranged it and said, now, but now it's not 1,000, now it's 10,000. Because the old woman also, she's old, so she's not great by the sun, you see. Great in the sun. She's got experience, so 10,000. Now it's on. He somehow he collected the 10,000 and he passed it on to her. Same again, moonlight, overlooking the lake, penthouse, laid the dastarkhan, all the lights, everything to attract him. And then when, at the heat of the moment, at the heat of everything, eaten, saw the girl, everything, then he's thinking to himself, but Allah Pak is watching. How can I ever do this when, why is Allah Pak is watching? No matter what, no matter who says what, but Allah Pak is watching, how can I ever do this? See, Allah Pak loves his servants. That moment that you're pulling the drug in your mouth, at that time, the thought of Allah Ta'ala comes. Allah Pak, I'm watching you. So that's a gift. And if you exploit that gift, then you won't go into it. And if you disregard it, then you'll keep disregarding it. At that time also, Allah Pak will still remind you, he will conscientize you that I'm watching. So that's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. Okay? Even though you're in the club, you are wherever, and you're about to embark on that wrong, whether you that woman, or whether you with the drug, whatever. Right? At that moment also, Allah Pak is with you. And nowadays, whether you are that on the porn site, right? And as you're just pressing, and then too you'll find that that will click in your mind, okay? I'm watching. Like you're clicking on, your mind is also clicking on, I'm watching. So if you take advantage over that moment, then Allah will hold on to you. Because you took advantage, Allah is watching you. So you were at a site where nobody could stop you. Nobody is watching you, nobody is observing you. But the fact that Allah is watching, that just became a break between you and them, became a barrier between you and the wrong. You could have gone into that porn site, done everything what you are not supposed to be doing, but the clicked in your mind that Allah Pak is watching. And that then that thought became such, it became a barrier between you and the wrong. So that for that person who is appreciative, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. It's for that person who is grateful, who is appreciative, who is thankful. So when Allah Pak conscientized you, then you clicked on, you held on. Then you didn't disregard Allah Ta'ala. You know, if you are grateful to your wife and you are about to embark on a wrong, and she says, you know, I'm watching, So if you're grateful to your wife, then you say, hey, honey, no, I made a mistake. I didn't start it off, you know, I was doing something else. But lucky you were there, you know. So if you're grateful to your wife, then you just shut down completely. You shut down completely. But if you're not grateful to your wife, say, hey, what's wrong? You are just a furniture there. You are just a number there. If you complain, so what? You're just a number. I don't need you, really. So if you don't appreciate it, then you become weaker. Your defenses are weaker. You're dropping your guards. You're becoming weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker all the time. But if you only appreciate it, then that guard of yours becomes stronger all the time. The barrier becomes stronger. Anyway, this thing is carrying on. This person noticed now... he's got that urge again for the third time. So the third time he did the same thing, everything, he arranged everything. And the woman says, now it's not 10,000, now it's 50,000. So that person that is mad, you know, he'll do anything. Jawani Diwani, youth is madness. You do anything and everything you do, youth is madness. So he gave 1,000 first, then 10,000, now he's given 50,000. All that ended, and by now he saw that this business that he was doing, that business was not working out so well. So he changed on from this business into slavery. He's now trading and selling slaves. Anyway, the king of Syria, he wanted some slave. So he came on to ask him, I need a slave. He said, all right, the slave of your choice you can take. So the king selected a slave and he went away. He said, I'll sort you out later on, but now I can't sort you out straight away, but I'll sort you out later on. Everything is carrying on now. In the meanwhile, the king, he called the businessman. He says, you know, I want to sort you out because I took the slave from you and didn't pay you out. So I have also got slaves, and you take the slave of your choice for the slave that I have taken from you. So, all right, I'm coming tomorrow. So he went up and he went to look at the assortment that he's got, and to his surprise he saw the same girl taken as a slave, because she's a European, so she was taken as a slave. It's war now, so she was taken by the king. And I want this girl here. Right, everything is all sorted out. Now it was not haram. That time it was haram. Now she's taken as a slave, so now everything is halal for her, for him. They say that the Boer Makka plan, a Makka plan, and the Indian he had a plan. He already got a plan. So there was one student, you know. So we're talking about the days of slavery. He went past the streets and he saw a beautiful girl. Right now he can't resist. But now a slave girl can only be permissible if you purchase her. Right? If you didn't purchase her, then she can't be permissible. Now he's coming from the middle of Zululand and he wants to buy one. He wants to have a slave girl. She's a state of the art here. And he wants to take her as his wife. Where must he get the money from? See? The broken down Johnny, where must he get this? How does he get this? So what he did, he went to one friend of his, says, you know, you got a posh car there, so I just want it only for 2 hours. For the car. And he went, he took 4 or 5 students, like his khadims, you know, put them, made them with their khadim clothing. So he came across the shop. This thing here, this is called a khadim. Khadim is get off here. I'm going to see those. So now the whole shop came out for him. He saw the posh car and all that. And he saw the khadims and the way they dress and all that. The whole shop came in. So what do you want? Oh, I want this girl here. All right, what's the price? 10,000. All right. Just put it in the card. Khadim, just take the address, just take the particulars, we'll pay the money, you know. So how much you want? 10,000. The deal is done. Not 10,000, I bought her and you sold her. Finish. The deal is done. The moment he said he sold and I bought, he said, you are free and I'm marrying you. Kalas. He got all those Khadim, the servants. Maharaj Chirap is asking, where's my money? He said, no, your money is coming still. Money is still paying, it's coming. But you can't retrieve this girl because she's freed now. I freed her. So you see what they do. They learn hidayah and all that. What hidayah they get, huh? Hidayah they get is at a different level, see. So anyway, now he took that girl now. Now she's pregnant already. In the meanwhile, there's a ceasefire. Both sides, the Muslim side and the Christian side, there's a ceasefire. And at the ceasefire, they agreed that all prisoners must be returned. The Christian prisoners must be returned on that side, and the Muslim prisoners must be returned on this side. So she's a Christian, she has to be returned on that side. She said, no, I can't go now. I married this person here, now I can't go, and I'm pregnant with him. There's a ceasefire, but it's a royal decree. So he meant to leave her at the border. So she is pleading with the authorities on that end by, you people are mine, but of my own I want to be here. I said, no, unless your guardian, your mother, everybody are in agreement then. In the meanwhile, mother had to come to the border post. Said, are you really sure about what you want? Said, let me spend 1 day with you. So the mother scrutinized and said, no, I want to be like this. Anyway, the mother said, all right, if you want to be like this, take this box. So, you know, the day or the hour of need, at least, there's some things I have left here. The hour of need, then you can at least get some assistance for yourself. Anyway, she came back with the box, husband hand in hand, and they came with the box home. So, amongst other jewelry and everything the mother had left in the box for her daughter, she saw on one corner is that 1,000, in the next corner is that 10,000, and the third corner was that 50,000. So what you left for Allah Ta'ala, you will get it, and you will get it with respect and honor. He left that haram, right? It was tempting. You know, a person at that age, 19, 20, 21, where everything in him is just jumping, you know, is jumping. He can't resist at that time, but he resisted at that time. So everything came back to him halal, with respect and with honor. But you can't say that there's no temptation. Temptation is there. But then the consciousness and the overwhelming thought of Allah Ta'ala had overwhelmed his mind. When it overwhelmed his mind, so Allah Ta'ala says, all right, you did that for me, I will do something for you. What you have done for me, I will do for you as well. Our Allah is not such. Okay, he postpones the payment for the hereafter all the time. There is a payment for the hereafter and there is a payment that is cash. He will do something for you cash as well as he will do something for you in the hereafter. Right? But because this world here cannot contain the pleasures of the hereafter, it can't contain, it's too small. So Allah gives you some payment in the hereafter. But وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. There is a cash payment that you are looking forward for. Allah gives it to you in this life. In this life, Allah gives it to you. So now, he left that girl, he got back that girl, he left that money, he gave away that money, got all that return, everything, plus jewelry, all that he got. So, who is the doer? The doer is Allah Ta'ala. That's what I say. Everything else can collapse, can fail, can betray. Right? You don't know, at the 11th hour, they can leave you. But Allah can't betray. He can't fail. He can't collapse. Nothing can break him down. Right? His treasures are unlimited. Right? There's nothing that Allah Ta'ala is short of. He's not deficient of anything. So it is that pillar, it is that column that you have to hold on. And as you hold on, you will find light. At the end of the tunnel, you will definitely find light. Up till now, you were in the habit of calling on him, just out of convenience. Now call him, not only out of convenience, but out of love, out of respect, out of confidence ask of him. Now you've been asking him just because of convenience. Right? One person came here just now, a few days ago. So his wife left him. After about 24 years of marriage, wife left him. He was doing something, the cell phone or whatever else. So the wife got mad and she left him. He's crying, making namaz, crying by 24 years of marriage, and you know, Ramzan time, she left me now, what must I do? So up till now, you've been asking Allah Ta'ala, but out of convenience. It's because she left you, therefore you're crying to Allah Ta'ala, right? Otherwise, if she did not leave you like this, you would have cried to Allah Ta'ala. Would you have put your face down and cried to Allah Ta'ala? You wouldn't have cried like that. Now you're crying because she left you. So you've been crying to Allah Ta'ala just out of convenience. Now cry to him out of love for him. One Buzruk was passing on stone, so that stone was crying. So he asked that stone, why are you crying? He said, no, I heard, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, the fuel of Jahannam will be people and stone. So when I hear that the stone will be the fuel of the fire, therefore I'm crying. So the Buzruk made dua, O Allah Ta'ala, out of your mercy, exempt the stone from the punishment of the fire. Exempt the stone. Anyway, Allah Pak exempted the stone and he got delivery out of Jahannam. Buzruk came past the stone again he sees crying. He said, why are you crying now? You exempted from the fire of Jahannam. So now I'm crying out of love for Allah Ta'ala. He's been so kind to me, been so compassionate that he delivered me from Jahannam. He sent me to Jannah. So mustn't I be grateful to Allah Ta'ala? So before you were calling on him, and you were calling on him out of convenience, not call on him out of love. See? Call on him out of respect. See how he will return it, how he will reciprocate. You are looking for a reward, you're looking for a return, right? And now you just turn your whole attitude. You change your attitude. You're doing it just out of convenience. Now do it because of love. See? And a nice time is when you are in the cubicle, right? When you're in the cubicle, in isolation, then you think. You're linking to Allah Ta'ala. See, amongst people, you can't relate so easily. You can't communicate. But when you are all isolated, you're all by yourself, at that time, it's just me and Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak, you've been doing this for me, and you saved me like this, and you saved my izzat like this. I could have been in the doldrums, and this is how you saved me. You know? One person was in the club, and it happened that he took an overdose, whatever, in the club, and the next moment, he was with his own sister. Because with his own sister, he doesn't know what he's doing. The sister doesn't know what she's doing, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And the friends are just there for the fun. So when this happened, so they videoed. Sister is with the brother on the act. Video. Right? They're passing on. How it happens nowadays, they video and they pass on everywhere. So you think to yourself, you know, in the days of ignorance and what you didn't do, and how Allah Ta'ala covered you. What you didn't do, and in spite of doing all that, Allah Pak still covered you. How much of sattari he made. So now think to yourself that I've been worshipping Allah Ta'ala just out of convenience, not out of sincerity. It wasn't true love. And Allah Ta'ala on his end, what he's doing for me. I've been doing all stupid things, and what on his end, what he's doing for me. So that you can achieve that when you are in isolation. In public, you can't think so well. Amongst people, you can't think so well. When you're all alone and think, you know, he's been doing so much for me. Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, he saw a youngster. Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, is rated like the leader of the tabi'in. You know, after the sahaba is the tabi'in. So he's been rated as the greatest amongst the tabi'in. So he saw a youngster coming into the masjid. He's very quiet, composed to himself, reads the namaz and he's gone. He comes quiet, calm, and he leaves the masjid quiet and calm. He saw him for a period of time. He called the youngster one day and he says, you know, I see you very quiet and composed. You come into the masjid and you go. Is there a need? Is there something that's worrying you, troubling you? Can we be of any assistance to you? He said, no, I don't need that. Then why are you so quiet, composed, You do your thing and you return. You don't talk. He says, you know what? When I come to the masjid from the home, I'm thinking to myself that Allah Ta'ala, from my side, is khata hi khata. It's only mistakes and mistakes, misdemeanors and misdemeanors. From my side, it's just wrongs upon wrong, misdemeanors upon misdemeanors, evil upon evil, evil upon evil. And from your side, it's atai atai, and from your side, it's just gifts upon gifts, favors and favors, favors upon favors. My side, when I look at it, is just wrong and wrong and wrong heaped up. And your side is just favors heaped up. So when I look at the whole equation, I feel so embarrassed, I feel so ashamed of myself. Allah Pak, I'm so terrible in my relationship with you, but you are so kind, Allah Ta'ala. Then I begin to thank Him, then I put no words. I feel within my heart I'm just crying, I'm crying profusely. When I look at the whole equation, both sides, see, we don't look at it from one side. Holistic, we be holistic, that what I am doing and how Allah Ta'ala is rewarding me, what I am doing and how Allah Ta'ala is returning. So when I look on my side, I'm just wrong. When I look at Allah Ta'ala's side, He's just favoring, favor upon favor, favor upon favor. I was thinking of it myself one day, some years ago. I come to this conclusion that Allah Ta'ala created this world just to favor you. Just to favor you. He's got no other business, but just He wants you to favor you, so He made a plan for you, right? Come here, I'll favor you. You know, make a reason for you being favored. I'll just create a reason for you to get favored. Why otherwise? What? Allah doesn't need you. Does He need you? Are you some so important part in this whole equation that He needs you? He doesn't need you. So He just brought you around to make a reason to favor you. He'll create a reason for you to be around and that He may favor you. Because He doesn't need you. Does He need you? Doesn't need you. Are you of any good to Him? You're not any good to Him. You're not doing any favor to Allah. So He's brought you around just to favor you. So He says to Hasan Basri Rahmatullah, this is when I read myself, this is how I see it. So Hasan Basri Rahmatullah told him that you have actually surpassed Hasan Basri as well. You're so great. Because you got the whole picture before you. You're looking at your mistake and you're looking at the favor of Allah Ta'ala. So you have surpassed and you have gone ahead of Him as well. See? So our problem is we don't reflect, we don't think. And the moment the person that thinks, then he begins to see things correctly. But you must see it, you must think, but think holistically and think completely, positively, constructively. Not from just one angle, one perspective, no. One dimension, no. Think holistically. What I've been doing and how Allah Ta'ala has been favoring me. What I've been doing and how He's been rewarding me. You think of it from different angles, how the whole picture comes before you. I've been doing this and this is how He's been rewarding me. I'm doing this and this is how He's favoring me. So you've got the whole picture before you. Now you see, you feel so remorseful. You feel so regretful. You feel so embarrassed. Allah, you've been so kind to me. You've been so grateful to me and I've been doing like this. Lousy character like me. What I've been doing and how you've been favoring me. How you've been favoring me and bountiful to me. So this is what is needed of us, that we, at some moment, some time in our lives, you know, especially in the month of Ramadan, we get into a corner and then think deeply about it and then think, alright, then how can I be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for what He's been doing for me? He's given me existence, He's given me a chance, He's hidden my faults, He's concealed me. He didn't go and display my faults and advertise my faults in the whole world. Otherwise, Allah could have done it. Like I said, this person, he went and caused you with his sister, and people went and videoed him and they passed the video out. So that person was exposed by Allah Ta'ala. Right? Allah exposed him. Yeah, Allah has concealed us. In spite of our mistakes, weaknesses, our shortcomings, everything, Allah concealed. So the fact that He's concealed us, He's blocked us off, He's been so kind to us, then what do we owe to Allah Ta'ala? Can we attach a price to what He's done for us? So when you think like that, then you think, when you think like that, you come to reality. You come to some direction. You come to some conclusion. And at that time, then you must ask Allah Ta'ala, and then make a resolve. Then just don't leave it at thought. You see, in business they say that you plan your work, And after that, you work your plan. You don't only plan the work, you plan the work, and then you work the plan. You plan it, all right, now this business needs to be operated like this, investments are supposed to be done like this. You planned out, and then you work the plan. First you plan the work, and then you work the plan. It's not a one-sided thing. So the same thing, now you plan the whole thing, and then after work the plan. Okay, I can see now, after Ramadan, this is where I will be. I don't want to become pious, just a seasonal piety. And that piety is the seasonal, comes Ramadan, then I become pious, and then after that, I'm going back to square one. Okay? I may become even worse, like how a person going for a diet program, right? So he just goes for the diet program in a season, thereafter he leaves the program, then he can be even worse. He needs to be consistent. Then there's a progress. He's seeing some light. All the time he's going for some servicing, and then you see that person is coming through against the person that is just doing it as a seasonal thing, right? So Allah Ta'ala wants to give. Allah Pak wants to be favor. But then, do you take advantage over that? We're talking of death, etc. Some frightening stories. By the same token, there are some stories of people that were favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh, when he was placed in the grave, someone saw him in the tomb and how did he fare with you? So he says, I don't know anything. I was studying one kitab, looking for one masla, on slavery. Right? And the next moment I find myself in the grave. I don't know what happened, Malakul Maut came, who didn't come, nothing. I was so deeply immersed in looking for that masla, that suddenly I see myself in the grave. Then I ask those people in the grave, but you know what? In the grave there's supposed to be an interrogation process, you know, Ma Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk and all that. But there was no interrogation process for me. In the grave, there's supposed to be an interrogation process, but there's no interrogation for me. So they told me, "Oh Muhammad, had we wanted to interrogate you and punish you, then we would have blessed you with piety and knowledge. We gave you piety and knowledge because we wanted to save you and honor you." See, so there are those people that fly, that come out with flying colors as well. That he doesn't even know he died. He doesn't know, only when he's lying in the grave then he realizes now where I come to. He doesn't even see the interrogation process, nothing. Everything is all green lights. As though when he just jumped off the plane, they put him in a car and took him straight away. They took him home, straight away. Now, he didn't see the custom, he didn't see anything. Just put him on the car and gone. He doesn't know anything about what had happened. Then he's at home and he's thinking, but you know, there's supposed to be a custom, you must go on clearance, these, that, all the procedures. There's no procedures, no immigration, nothing, and they push you through. What happened? So can't that happen? They push you through without any immigration, without any custom, nothing. Can't it happen? Can happen. The Imam of the Haram will come. Don't they make a special plan for him? Make a special plan for him. So the same, if you become pious, Allah will make a plan for you as well. Rabia Basariya rahmatullah alayha, she passed away. She's so cool and relaxed, so cool and so calm and relaxed. She's in the grave now. So those malaika came to interrogate. They have to come and do their work. See, the custom officers, they have to do their work, right? That's what they're being paid for. So the malaika, they are for that. So they came to do their work. Routine now. It's a routine, they have to do their routine. So they asked that malaika. Malaika began to question her. Ma rabbuk, ma deenuk, ma kunta taqul fi hadha rajul. So she cross-questioned those malaika. Malaika came to question her and she threw the questions back at the malaika. So she asked the malaika, "You people, where have you come from?" "From the seventh heaven." "So what's the distance between the seventh heaven to this earth?" "It's about 500 years journey." "So I need to know from you that you transcended such a journey, completed such a journey, 500 years. Have you forgotten Allah Ta'ala? Have you forgotten?" "No." "Then Rabia Basriya just traveled 2 meters down. You think Rabia Basriya will forget?" "Now she's so cool and relaxed. Yeah, the interrogation officers are there. interrogation officers are there, but she's so cool and she's so relaxed, as though she had an understanding with them from before. You know, you've got the immigration officers there, but you know them. From whatever, you know them. Hey, how are you? Say, oh, how are you? Carry on, man. As though you had an understanding with them from before. So can't that happen? It can happen. Not that it can't happen, it can happen. But then you create a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, and you'll see, you see Him right, He'll see you right. Here in this world, you don't you see the sea rights? Huh? You see, you get a thing like a sea right. So you see Allah Ta'ala right, He will see you right. At that time that you need Him, He'll see you right. As the Shaykh Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, for 2-3 months before he could pass away, Malakul Maut came to him in person. Malakul Maut came to him in person. So Mu'adh saw him, says, alright, now you came now, come and do your job now. What will happen to us if Malakul Maut came? I think the last one of us, the Jullab, will come out. Pet Gabri Jaya, isn't it? Something will happen. Isn't it? And the man is so prepared, he's so anxious for the journey. You know, he's like, man is going for Hajj now. Hey, come move now. Hey, we've already boarded the plane, now move, what's wrong? Why aren't you moving? As though Mu'adh is telling the Malakul Maut, now you do your job, carry on now. You came for a task, so I'm ready now. I'm already on. So Malakul Maut had to defend himself, as though Malakul Maut had to take defense. Malakul Maut said, "Bhai, I didn't come to take your soul now. Now I came to befriend, you know, have a dosti now. You must get used to us, we get used to you. So we just came to familiarize ourselves with you." Who's familiarizing? Malakul Maut, this Buzurg. That the journey, on the journey, that you don't find it ajanu ni lage tamura, you know. You don't feel strange and, you know, difficult and something's unique. You don't find it. So Malakul Maut is befriending the man. Imagine, of all people, Malakul Maut is befriending the person. But then he prepared himself accordingly. So Malakul Maut also is returning the favor accordingly, you see. He is favoring 3-4 months in advance. Come here, talking like friends. So that when the day to leave, when the departure, the actual departure is announced, then he's holding his friend's hand and they're moving together. As though it's friends. You holding his hand, he's holding your hand, and you're moving together. What a beautiful sight. What a beautiful scenery, isn't it? So if it happened for one person, then it can happen for the second person as well. It's not that Allah Ta'ala's treasures have all exhausted. Don't think Allah Pak's treasures have exhausted. His treasures are still unlimited. All the time it's unlimited. But then it's you that is not taking from his treasure. It's you that is not pulling out. He's got it there. It's there, but it's there. I've got it for you. It's meant for you. It will not deplete my treasures if you take anything. But then you take advantage, come along. You take advantage over the situation. Think of me. Be good towards me, then I will see you favorably. We'll try, inshallah. The simple way to get that, I tell the people, especially after you're 30, now 30, I say, now think of death. And a simple way to get that is make the simple dua. Lapak, my last, the best moment must be my last moment. The best of my days, last of my days. Best deeds, last deeds. So you will ask that after every namaz, with sincerity, you know. Because, see, death is the culmination of all your efforts. You know, death is the culmination of all your efforts. Like you're doing business, right? So the culmination of your effort, you will see at the end of the month, right? Or at the end of the financial year. So don't you look forward to see what profits I made. You want to see your bank balance. You want to see what it reads like. Because it's a culmination of your efforts. So you want to see how you fare, how much profits you made. You got this property here, you got some offshore businesses, you got this, whatever else you got. So you want to see where you stand. Right? Aren't you anxious to know? So, by the same token, all these efforts, you know, all the efforts that you are making, The actual reading is where it will come. Yeah, the reading comes every year. Or after every financial year, the reading comes, bank balance comes at where you stand. Right? If you've got some shares in the stock exchange, listed market and all, right? So, at the end of the financial year, you know exactly where you stand, right? So, by the same token, you want to know by Allah Ta'ala where you stand. So exactly when will you know where you stand? At the time, at that time. So you don't want Allah to announce at that time, okay, bye. You are a zero, not a hero. You don't want that to be announced. That you are a zero. You don't want that to be announced. So in preparation for that, this is a nice simple dua. The best moment, my last moment. Best deeds, the last deeds. Best days, the last days. As I'm coming closer, as I say, after 25-30, then it's a time that you have to prepare. So you hear, youngster, 25 years, went to sleep, never get up again. Don't you hear this type of stories? You hear this type of stories all the time. But some 5 years ago, youngster, 19-20 days, he read Tarawih, 21st day, and he's gone. Youngster. Don't you hear the stories? You hear the stories all the time. So, this is supposed to be like a lesson for us. It's no more like, you know, you'll get old, then you start getting sick, then you'll get one sign, one notice, second notice. You know, you won't get the notices. At least, in these planes nowadays, they give you a notice, you know. They show you the chart and all that, the map. This way you are now, and this way you're flying, and how many kilometers to travel still? How many kilometers to travel? They still show you all that, right? Yeah, Malakul Maut doesn't have to show you all that. It may just come abruptly. Ab saath mere chalo. Now come. And then you can't say, hey, Malakul Maut, just hold on now. You can't say that. Just hold on. Just let me round up my things. Whether you square or you round, he's going to take you. He's not going to wait for you to round up and square up and all that. He's taking you, right? So this is a nice dua to be made after every namaz. My best days, best of my days, let be my end. Best deeds, best days, best moments, days, deeds. Can't we remember the moments, days and deeds? Right? We ask for that. So when you ask that with our hearts and our souls, right? As though we're telling Allah Ta'ala, you know, it mustn't be that death comes to me whilst I'm in a club. Or death comes to me whilst I'm watching a porn. Or death comes to me whilst I'm interested in a casino. Or death comes to me whilst I'm glaring at a girl. It mustn't happen like that. So you are protecting yourself, you are preparing yourself for those moments, and you are begging Allah Ta'ala after every namaz. After the namaz, the du'as get kabul. You know? After faraz namaz, your du'as get kabul. So if you put your mind into it, put your heart and mind into it, my best moments, deeds, days. Moments, deeds and days. Can't you remember that? Moments, deeds and days. Let it be the last ones. So one time Allah Ta'ala will accept it. Like we all beggars, right? We all asking. So one day something will come into the mind of the king and say, all right, take man, whatever you want, take it, move. Right? Even come to your shop, one beggar come 5 times a day, please man, Lani, make a plan now. I came enough now, you know. Make a plan, you know, they'll cut off my light just now, do something now. I'm Islam brother, you. So they talk that language. My one friend was telling me that you get this aunties coming on a Thursday, see. They put on that abaya on a Thursday and they come around and they're begging. Other days they do some other work, but Thursday, Friday they come, they got this work on. So they targeted one woman. They see this woman here, she's playing a prank. She's working, she got a small walking thing, whatever. On a Thursday, she's seeing this, making more business on this. So she's doing this business. She goes around the shops and she's got a buyer and she's going. So the boss told one of his workers, okay, now don't give it to her, because we see her face on the other days, right? On that Thursday, she just got an abaya covering her face and she's going on this trip here. So don't give her anything. So that day she came on a Thursday. So this mota told her, just open your face. Open your face because you're playing a prank here. She made a noise. Islam sister, are you asking me to open the face? About time to run away. So what I'm getting at is, you want to ask Allah Ta'ala all the time, right? Like we ask, someone comes to your shop, right? You feel ashamed, you feel embarrassed, right? Allah, give it to the person, give it to him. First time, second time, third time, fourth time, he's asking every day now. He's a pain in the neck, give it to him. So Allah won't say he's a pain in the neck, he says a pleasure. When you're asking, he'll say you got a pleasure. With pleasure, I'll give it to you. But you just go on asking him. One day Allah will say, just give it to him. Tell the farishta, just write it down, give it to him. So can't we do that after every namaz? Allah grant us that beautiful death.
Wait, make two of them. Wait.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا ان هدانا الله يا رب لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا وهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعظائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا جاهلا إلا علمته ولا مسافرا إلا بلغته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. O creator of the heavens and earth, O creator of the sky, this vast sky, O creator of the oceans and the rivers, through your mercy, please forgive us, O Allah. We do not know how to ask from you, O Allah. We are drenched in sins, O Allah. Please forgive us, O Allah. We do not know how to ask from you, from your vast treasures, O Allah. Through your mercy, O Allah, please forgive our sins. In this blessed month of Ramadan, O Allah, or in the Ashar of Maghfirah, O Allah, please forgive our sins. O Allah, we are sinning in the broad light of the day, in the darkness of the night, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally. O Allah, please forgive us. O Allah, we are so ungrateful. We are very ungrateful, O Allah. Please give us the tawfiq of being grateful to you, O Allah. O Allah, you blessed us with so many ni'mat. We do not know how to use this ni'mat. We are misusing your ni'mat, O Allah. We are misusing your ni'mat, this ni'mat that you gave us to worship you, to make your ibadah, we are misusing them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please give us tawfiq to endeavor ourselves in your ibadah, O Allah. O Allah, we have amongst us great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pious people, through the barakat, accept our dua, O Allah. O Allah, give us long life with health, with tawfiq to make your ibadah, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us at the moment of our death, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us khatima bil khair. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time of our death, grant us kalima at our tongue, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Malakul Maut come to squeeze our heart, O Allah, let the kalima flow from our tongue, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us the tawfiq to be steadfast in your a'mal, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open the locks of our heart through your dhikr, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, moisten our tongues with your dhikr, O Allah. O Allah, make this salah the coolness of our eyes, like how it was the coolness of the eyes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make the salah the means of the solution of our problems, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah, be pleased with us, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not send down your wrath unto us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any shortcomings that we did knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, or unintentionally, O Allah, please forgive us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are like that small child in front of his mother that is asking for forgiveness. So, O Allah, do forgive us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you look at us 70 times more with mercy than how a mother looks to his child, to her child. O Allah, please forgive us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not know how to ask for forgiveness, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know anything, O Allah. Teach us how to love you. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teach us how to get to you. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring us close to you, O Allah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not deserve Jannah, O Allah, but please do admit us into Jannah. لا إله إلا الله أستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار ونعوذ بك من النار ونسألك الجنة الفردوس. الله سبحانه وتعالى grant us جنة الفردوس, O Allah. الله سبحانه وتعالى bless us with your countenance in the day of Qiyamah, O Allah. Bless us with your countenance in جنة, O Allah. الله سبحانه وتعالى grant us the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise us with the shuhada, with the pious, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri qalbihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.